Right, government celebrates what it describes as a major economic turnaround in 2025 mid-year budget review, with Finance Minister Dr. Kessie Alatofo-Osin declaring the economy fully resuscitated with impressive numbers and significant spending on key obligations.
Economy in deep distress. A country with dispirited citizens. Trust and faith in our leaders were at all-time low. The fundamentals were not only weak, but broken. Mr. Speaker, and the misery and suffering were palpable. Mr. Speaker, in just 6 months, in fact, under 200 days, under the decisive leadership of President John Mahama, we have begun to change the story. Mr. Speaker, President Mahama's economic management model is working.
Well, however, the minority in Parliament staged a dramatic walkout in protest, highlighting ongoing disagreement over economic policies.
We cannot be part of the presentation of the media budget. And to that extent, we are exiting the Parliament and cannot be part of this process.
We have more, because in a bid to ease the burden on struggling households, the government made a last-minute appeal to traders to reduce prices.
But so did the people of Ghana. Mr. Speaker, it is now time for prices to come down to reflect the new realities for the benefit of all Ghanaians and not only for the traders. Mr. Speaker, as we look forward, more jobs will be created, confidence will be deepened, and the Ghanaian economy will stand tall again.
We'll delve deeper into the budget with stakeholders here on Top Story, brought to you always by Telecel, connecting energies. Well, tonight, government is celebrating a major economic turnaround, firing back at critics with numbers that tell a compelling story. Finance Minister Dr. Kessie Alatofo-Osin presented a 2025 mid-year budget review, insisting that Ghana's economic hardship, or the economy, has finally sailed out of stormy waters and into calmer seas. But the session was not without drama. The minority walked out just before the presentation began, after their leader was cut short by the speaker when he raised issues about electoral violence during Friday's Abeokuma North rerun. Now let's listen to the one of the leaders, and not Don Pre, make the point.
Right before. Electoral violence, Mr. Speaker, is increasingly rearing its ugly head in our fledgling democracy. Mr. Speaker, the recently rerun 19 polling stations at Abeokuma North is truly revealing.
Honorable Minority Chief, just a minute. Honorable members, the Minority Chief is raising a very serious matter: election violence. I think it's a matter that we should take note of and devote a day to dilate on it. And at the end of the day, take a position, because we need everybody to be on board. It takes away a lot of the shine of our democracy in this country. And so what he's talking about is a serious matter. It's not something for us to just gloss over. But I want to plead with him, because I didn't know the statement was on this subject matter. because I myself have noted it, and my intention is for us to devote a day and enough time to take this matter through. It worries all of us, particularly to take this matter through. It worries all of us, particularly you, the players, must be more worried than any other person, because the violence will be meted up to no other persons apart from you, the players. So it's something that we should take some time, and I want to urge the minority chief whip to let us stop today.
But so did the people of Ghana, Mr. Speaker.
We cannot be part of the presentation of the media budget. And to that extent, Speaker, to that extent, we are exiting the parliament and cannot be part of this process.
So that was the point the minority decided they won't be part of the media budget review, stating their reasons why they did. But despite the walkout, the finance minister was unfazed. He took the opportunity to rip into the former MPP government, blaming them for Ghana's economic collapse and declaring that the Mahama government has turned the tide. He rejected claims that the current recovery is cosmetic and went on to list several big ticket payments from free SHS to bondholder state settlement as evidence that the government is not just saving but spending what he calls or labels wisely.
An amount of $700 million of Eurobond obligations has been paid. An amount of $10 billion to domestic bondholders has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 2.9 billion Ghana cedis to the District Assembly's Common Fund has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 2.7 billion Ghana cedis to the Social Security and National Insurance Trust has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 9.1 billion Ghana cedis to the energy sector for stable power supply has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 5 billion Ghana cedis of arrest has been paid. Right Honorable Speaker, an amount of 4.6 billion to the Ghana Education Trust Fund has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 1 billion Ghana cedis to the free secondary education program has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 4.6 billion Ghana cedis to the National Health Insurance Scheme has been paid. Right Honorable Speaker, an amount of 1.4 billion for the National Health Insurance claims has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 252 million for vaccines and essential medicine has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 72.8 million Ghana cedis as capitation grant has been paid. Mr. Speaker, an amount of 895 million to the school feeding program has been paid. Right Honorable Speaker, an amount of 477 million to the LEAP beneficiaries has been paid. We were handed an economy in deep distress, a country with dispirited citizens. Trust and faith in our leaders were at all time low. The fundamentals were not only weak, but broken. Mr. Speaker, and the misery and suffering were palpable. Mr. Speaker, in just 6 months, in fact, under 200 days, under the decisive leadership of President John Mahama, we have begun to change the story. Mr. Speaker, President Mahama's economic management model is working. The turnaround is in sight. Mr. Speaker, the signs of economic progress are visible and measurable. Mr. Speaker, first quarter economic growth is at 5-year high. Our GDP, our debt to GDP ratio is at a 5-year low. Mr. Speaker, inflation has declined to a 4-year low. Right Honorable Speaker, our credit rating has improved from junk to B minus with stable outlook, a 2-notch upgrade and a 4-year high. Right Honorable Speaker, we have almost reversed all the city depreciations in the years 2022, 2023, and 2024, with no city appreciation depreciation in the year 2025. We were handed an economy in deep distress. A country with spirit. First quarter economic growth is at 5-year high. Our GDP, our debt to GDP ratio is at a 5-year low. Yes. Mr. Speaker, inflation has declined to a 4-year low. Yes. Right Honorable Speaker, our credit rating has improved from junk to B minus with stable outlook, a 2-notch upgrade and a 4-year high. Right Honorable Speaker, we have almost reversed all the city depreciations in the years 2022, 2023, and 2024, with no city appreciation depreciation in the year 2025.
Now, interestingly, while listing these major payments, Dr. Tufosin made it clear that government is not coming to Parliament to ask for extra money. Instead, revenue targets are being revised upwards, particularly due to new levies like the One Ghana City 4 tax, which he says will boost overall collections.
As a result, total revenue and grant has been revised upwards from the 2025 budget target of 227.1 billion to 229.9 billion, or from 16.2% of GDP to 16.4% of GDP. This represents a nominal increase of 1.3%. Mr. Speaker, the additional revenue of 2.9 billion Ghana cedis will come from the increase in revenues from the amendment to the Energy Sector Levies Act.
So there you have it, the Finance Minister, Dr. Kessiela Tofosin, enumerating what they have done as a government to stabilize the ship called Ghana's economy. Let's bring in now an economist, Dr. Patrick Esuming, who lectures at the University of Ghana, to help us understand what to make of this particular budget review. Grateful to you, sir, for joining us. Now, from where you sit, what was your major takeaway from this particular budget review presentation?
Good evening and good evening to listeners. Thanks for having me. I think, first of all, it was good to know the fiscal update. As for the inflation, the currency, the growth numbers, we already had it. But it was great to see that the fiscal targets are being kept. And indeed, across all the measures, we are performing the fiscal target as well. Now, that category, the government says I'm spending less than I initially projected, and I'm collecting a little bit more. There are two ways of looking at it. I think the issue about the government not spending has been raised, and that is what it explains, for instance, the stability of the ship. But when you look at it broadly, actually, government is spending almost what it projected. The difference between what they projected and what they spent is not that different, it's not that much. However, when you look at the spending in absolute terms, you realize that it appears that a lot of the spending has been backloaded. In other words, the appropriation is about 270 billion, and up to this point, the government has spent just under 100 billion. So what this tells you is that the government always planned not to spend in the first half of the year, and it has kept on track. So I think that was good. Also, on the fiscal side, it was good to see the update on where we are on the VAT reforms. I guess from many Ghanaians' point of view, we are not going to see the back of e-levy until the end of the year. But we are still waiting to see exactly what the full extent of the VAT reforms. The finance minister only recreated what he has said before and pushed implementation towards the end of the year. Now, the other thing to note is that in spite of the fact that the macroeconomic indicators have performed much better than was projected, the finance minister decided to keep all the targets that have been set. If you take the inflation target, for instance, it has been maintained at a minimum of or a maximum of 11.9. Now, when you look at the IMF document that was recently released, they are now projecting that if you end the year with inflation of 8, I guess the finance minister is being super cautious and being conservative, knowing that, you know, things could easily turn around. So I think that was also interesting to note. The fact that even though the economy has performed well, better than we expected in the first half of the year, a lot of all the major macroeconomic targets were kept at what we need.
Could there be an underlining reason for keeping it at where they did, even though they are doing better than that?
My sense is he's just trying to be prudent. But the only concern is that when you're an IMF program, all our targets should align. So it's a little strange that the IMF, for instance, has updated its overall growth target to 4.4, and the government is keeping it at 4. Mind you, all of these underline a lot of the indicators that will be used in assessing the project. So I thought that perhaps that would be updated. But again, what will happen is that if we come to the end of the year and the performance is better, then the indicators will be much better. So perhaps from the minister's point of view, it's better to err on that side than to overpromise and not be able to achieve.
Can you understand why the COVID levy is still on the books? I mean, many people expected that that could go away, but it's still there.
Yes, I think a few people will be disappointed that it's not gone at the time, but the finance minister from the outset said it will be removed as part of a broader reform of the VAT system. He has indicated that the consultation with the IMF is complete, but they are also doing broader stakeholder consultation, and he gave a clear timeline on when that might be done. Obviously, he stated that, you know, the final document will be shared when the 2026 budget is read. So I think while many people will be disappointed that COVID-19 levy is still there, from my point of view, I think it's better to do a good job with the VAT reforms than to rush to do a so-so job just because you want to remove the COVID-19 levy so quickly. So, yeah, I think I will probably side with the finance minister if it ends up being a very good job.
What about the public debt? He announces that it has reduced from 700 to 600 billion cedis. Is what could be accounting for it? Prudent economic management or the cedis appreciation against the dollar is what is doing the trick?
For our external debt, the cedis appreciation is a big deal. It's a big deal for both the servicing as well as the quantum, because the dollar amount probably hasn't changed, but because the cedis has strengthened, when you convert the lower amount. But you have to understand that it wasn't the only component that has reduced. The domestic debt has also reduced. Part of it is, we see that from the start of the year, interest rates on treasury bills have declined quite substantially. Of course, many people will say the government deliberately engineered it. But however it happened, it has happened. It has strengthened the government debt position. And as a result, you also read that the servicing, the debt service payment obligations have also reduced. And I think all of those are good things, but we also saw a negative impact of the city appreciation when we couldn't meet all our customs revenue, even though the finance minister seemed to attribute that to some corruption or something like that.
In terms of the, interest rates, what's your own expectation now that the government says things are working right? Then, of course, people say it has to reflect in every aspect of our lives, including how much we, at the rate at which we borrow.
Well, the rate at which we borrow is, that conversation is difficult. The first thing is that the current interest rate pricing formula says that everything starts with the Ghana reference rate. The Ghana reference rate itself is computed with three indicators: the monetary policy rate, the interbank rate, and the treasury bill rate. So you realize that the Ghana reference rate has come down a little bit, but that's mostly because the the 91-day treasury bill has come out substantially. Many people are looking for the central bank, the monetary policy committee of the central bank, to cut the monetary policy rate. If it does, that has the potential to reduce interest rates further. But you also have to keep an eye on the fact that non-performing loans are still quite high. And if non-performing loans are high, the banks are going to be reluctant to substantially reduce lending rates.
Okay.
So while people make a legitimate case that, look, things are improving the economy, it is time for the central bank to cut the policy rate.
Okay.
I think we shouldn't expect that the moment the policy rate is cut, the lending rate will come down substantially.
Okay.
All because right, what might happen is that the Ghana reference rate might come down. But if because of rising NPLs, banks assess that it's so risky to run the economy, they will just put up a higher risk premium. So we need to tackle everything from a broad base and make sure that all aspects of the economy are improving. Then we will begin to see a more sustainable reduction in the lending rate.
Doug, I'm grateful to you for joining us tonight on Top Story. Dr. Patrick Isuming is an economist with the University of Ghana. This is still Top Story. Now, the minister indicated that the new Road Maintenance Trust Fund bill would be sent to Parliament to replace the road fund. And again, he announced that there will be rehabilitation of 10 kilometers of road yearly in some 166 constituencies which are in dire need of roads. I mean, that is the indication that he gave us. Again, he announced that teacher and nursing trainee allowances will now receive prompt payment of allowances from July ending, which is this month ending. So next week, around Thursday, teachers and nursing trainees will be receiving their allowances promptly. He again announced that the big push has now, for the year ahead of us, the focus will be on roads. And he mentioned a number of roads that they intend to construct under the big push. Top of the head, he mentioned the Mankasim, the Cape Coast Takra dedualization, as well as the Mankasim Winneba dualization as well as part of the big push. Also from Kaswa to Winneba has also been captured as part of the route that will be constructed under the big push. He mentioned a number of such roads that will be constructed. Again, he announced that over 41 tons of gold has been exported from small-scale miners in the first half of the year. And he says that exceeded large-scale export. Well, let's bring in Deputy Ranking Member on the Energy Committee of Parliament, Collins Adumaku Mensah, who is also a former Deputy Minister. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us here. You walked out of the chamber, but having heard what the Minister said, in fact, I'm sure you agree that the economy is now on a sound footing.
Well, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. To be very frank with you, I've not taken my time to listen to the minister. As you are aware, we staged a walkout to perform an equally important democratic activity. And so I've not taken my time to listen to the minister.
Okay.
It's difficult for me to agree with you on your point.
Okay. Now, he mentions, for example, that our public debt has now reduced from 700 to 600 billion cedis. That's massive, isn't it?
Well, yes, that's quite interesting, especially when the Auditor General has just reported that the 2024 public debt was overestimated by 138 billion. Now listen very carefully. It was overstated by 138 billion. This is what the Auditor General is telling us. So I'm not surprised at the reduction. Of course, the exchange rate is doing well. But if that's the case,
and that the public debt was overestimated by over 100 billion, and we've seen the city doing so well, then the public debt should be lower than the 600 we are being told, if your analogy is right.
No, then maybe I didn't get your point.
Mm.
I thought your question was that the debt had come down.
Yes.
Was that not your question?
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah? But you were explaining it was because you've heard
that. I'm saying that I'm not surprised it has come down, especially when the Auditor General had informed us that the 2024 public debt was overstated by 138 billion. That's what the Auditor General is telling us.
Yes.
Coupled with the strength of the CD. And don't forget that the public debt is both CD denominated and dollar denominated.
Yeah.
So once your CD is doing well, the dollar denominated component of your debt, if you convert to CD, will obviously be reduced. So, yes, I acknowledge that some efforts have been made to bring the debt down. But don't forget that, as I said, significantly, the Auditor General has reported that close to about 138 billion was overstated in 2024.
Mm. Same way, we are now being told that some contractors withdrew government money without work done. Why did that happen, really?
That would be a very difficult question for me to answer. Because I recall that one question that was posed to the Minister of Roads and Transport when he appeared before Parliament, we got to know that there's a process. I mean, monies are not just paid from the consolidated fund without going through a certain process. If, for any reason, some monies have been paid to contractors wrongfully, I think the rightful channel should be followed to retrieve our funds. I don't have any issue with that. But I'll be surprised if money would just be paid to a contractor without going through a certain process. Knowing very well the accounting process that goes through, that comes with public finance, I'll be very surprised that money's instructions will move from a ministry to finance ministry to controller and payment will be made without any sufficient documentation. If that did happen, I think the law should take its course.
But what do you make of the investment that they've done into the NIB, for example? 450 million has been invested into NIB, moving it from a negative to positive 23%.
I don't have the full details, but I read that they've recapitalized NIB and supported them with some funding. I don't think this is the first time governments have assisted ailing banks to recapitalize. I don't think it's anything new, but I don't have any problem if government takes a decision that a state institution like NIB, going through some financial struggles, they will come to their aid to support them. I don't have any issue with that.
All right. I'm grateful to you, Collins Adumakumensa, for joining us here. He is deputy ranking member on the Energy Committee of Parliament. This has been Top Story. Up next is Newsnight.